Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so Leah Skagan speaking. I just have a quick public comment in regards to a previous public comment. I was listening to a recording of the Select Board meeting in July. I think it was Betsy Steinbeck who mentioned her concern over excessive speeding on public roads here in Concord. And so I just want to echo, I have similar concerns. And then I have one quick question. I think at the end of that same meeting, and I might not have heard this correctly, but I thought that there was a decision to reduce the contracted hours by Vermont State Police. And so those things seem a little bit counterintuitive with respect to addressing the problem. If we think that that is a problem, so perhaps we could make that a night of month future select board meetings and see if there's another way to mitigate the problem if we're going to have reduced.
We reduced the hours very insignificantly,
okay.
Mainly because we had $22,000 in the budget, and to keep the same number of hours, it was going to be 22.5 or something like that.
Okay.
So reduced those hours slightly to reflect that we would stay within the budgeted amount
right.
of money because their rates have gone up slightly. So you're getting almost as much service as you
yeah.
were before. But and we can adjust the budget upward if we feel that's
yeah.
necessary for this coming fiscal year.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you for the explanation. I think perhaps there are other ways to address it, and I'm not suggesting I take up any of your agenda time
yes.
for that topic, but perhaps keeping it in our minds for the future, if there's some room to sort of think about how we can make that better. I certainly have plenty of anecdotes, but I don't want to use this time now to go over that.
Any other public comment? Okay, review of agenda. I have one item to add, and that is we have a liquor a liquor permit or catering permit that needs to go on for Silo Distillery, and we can add that at the end of the meeting or at the end of the business items for.
Why don't you put that in under? Because I brought my wrong table for my computer, so I can't do anything with slides.
Okay, so catering will be I. Do we have any other items that we need to add?
Did we ever approve the... I don't think we ever approved the... was it the July 11th minute?
That's true. I just found them. That was a 5-minute meeting. I'm gonna send that around individually by email so you can check it over.
So I don't think we can add that today because nobody has those to read. Any other items to add? Anybody? So I need a motion to amend these minutes as we have discussed.
I sent around some amendments to, I think it's the, help me out, Cynthia, was it the 24th?
Yes.
So did everybody get a chance to look over those?
We're still trying to review the agenda, Scott. We aren't on the minutes yet.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Getting ahead.
So can I have a motion to review the agenda as amended?
So moved.
In a second? All those in favor? We have to do this by a roll call vote because Scott isn't here. Frank?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Emily, aye. All here from unanimous. Now we're talking about approval of 7/24 and 8/7/2019 minutes. And underneath this, we have the recording, which had a late start. And Ellen DeMurl has, because I don't know what happened there, maybe John knows.
I forgot to push the button.
So Ellen asked that her public comments, which she had written down, be included in the minutes or with the minutes because that was not reflected on the recording. Are there any other changes to the minutes of 7/24 and 8/7?
It's actually the 11th. Cindy, I sent the long edit from the 17th minute, not the 11th. So is that what we're doing?
I think you sent them for the 724 minutes, and I've included.
So I sent a big long list of edits for the 24, wasn't it? Sorry, the 17th.
No, the 17th was approved at the meeting.
Did we approve all of the edits that I sent?
No, because they're in the amended minutes that are.
Oh, okay. So you went ahead and put them into the approved one.
I did.
Okay. All right. Good enough.
No, they're not approved. They're being approved tonight.
The 17th.
Yes. 24.
Okay. We've got the 24th and the 7th on the agenda tonight.
Yes, your amendments were made to the 724 minutes.
Actually, my amendments were for the 17th.
Those minutes were included in the packet, and they're here. And in the minutes of August 7th, it states approval of 717 and 724 draft minutes. Scott made several adjustments to 717 minutes. These
yes.
will be added, and the minutes resubmitted for approval. Frank moved and Steve second. Approval
okay,
of the 7:24 minutes.
Okay, so I didn't have any edits for the 24.
So what we have to approve then are the 7:17 minutes,
which are in there.
And yeah, well, they were here. They were.
Yeah.
I believe they were. Or at least I printed them out at some point then, if they weren't in the agenda packet.
They were.
And okay. So okay. Then we have to approve those.
That's right.
And the
I'm
minutes
confused.
For 8, 7. And your, most of your edits were included in the July 17 minutes, except where your edits were incorrect, as I read the minutes. So, do we have any other discussion on the July 17 minutes?
No.
Anyone else? Are you happy with the July 17 minutes, Scott? As presented in the packet that Cindy distributed?
You know, I'm just gonna have to go ahead. It's too hard to trace this back now, so I'm just gonna have to go ahead and agree. I haven't had a chance to cross check it against what's in there.
All those, I needed a motion to approve the July 17 minutes.
So moved.
Frank?
Yeah, aye.
Scott, Don?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Myself, aye. Unanimous. Now let's go on to the August 7 minutes. And are there any corrections that anyone wishes to make with those?
Yeah, under 5N, we voted to contract with Horizon Engineering, and I'm not sure if it made it in the motion, but we did discuss waiving the purchasing policy. And I think that's just a good idea to make sure that gets included. Then down on 5U and V, it's my sense that we've got a lot of discussion stuff in here that might not be relevant. I'll pick a good example somewhere here. Norm Buchanan said that, you know, the select board should be taking training courses and stuff, and that was really not germane to the discussion. It's kind of, he said this was a response back, and I'm not sure that it really goes to the heart of what's there. So I think both of you seem a bit wordy to me, and I just read them today. and I don't have anything to offer as far as changes at this point. If someone would like to, I can take a stab at it for the next meeting, but that's up to the board.
Do you want to postpone adopting these until the next meeting?
Yeah, just so I I'll prepare myself a little more for that. I just think that we need to peel that down. There's a lot of extremes information in there. I don't think into the discussion.
Okay, we'll put that off until the next meeting. We have warrants for payment here. This is warrant number 19017 in the amount of $61,627.92. And then we have check warrant 19015 in the amount of $375.59. And then check warrant 19014 in the amount of $5,604.60. That's pretty well. Does anyone want to look at these?
M&W Soils got paid?
Yes.
Or going to get paid?
Yes. Good. So I need a motion for those three items. I'll do it. I move that we approve 19017 in the amount of $61,627.92, 19015 in the amount of $375.59, that's a payroll item, and 19014 in the amount of $5,604.60, and that's payroll. Do we have a second? All those in favor of approving those three warrants?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Emily?
Aye.
Unanimous. While we're on Ellen's business, in case she doesn't stay, she and Chad have come up with a total figure for the reimbursement for Joan Dunn, and we can all take a look at this. And Ellen wondered if we wanted to have a lawyer look this over that is familiar with tax sales. And then if indeed this is the way it ought to be, we can cut Joan Dunn a check and finish this off. Would you like to look at this, Frank? You are responsible for a good part of that as well. And anybody else who wants to look at it?
Thank you. Karen use for tax sale stuff?
Someone down in Windsor, and I don't recall the name right away, but I'm sure that we can find out from her.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a bad idea.
Karen.
Oh, I'm sorry, Karen. I didn't see it.
That's not
good.
My name is Tracy. Tracy Hill. Tracy Hill.
Tracy White, W-Y-E-T-H.
I wouldn't think it'd be a bad idea. I mean, we've never done one of these before, so. Tend to err on the side.
Can you send me her contact information?
Okay.
Karen,
yep.
And then we'll get that itemized, get her to look at that. That would be great. Moving on, unless we have any other questions in this matter, road foreman's report. That's you, Jim.
So far, we've still been grading roads and started hauling, doing some roadside hauling today. That's the plan, just to try to keep going around doing that. Replace the culverts. We've got some culverts that I got to replace up on Thistle Hill. Two of them are failed culverts, so we're going to have to take care of them and let them down. And then we're planning on, just as quick as this culvert comes in, to talk to them today. They seem to think that maybe it would be in maybe Friday. So we'll get Ellen's project going, and is it okay if we go ahead and order them Caper Street culverts?
Oh, yeah.
Caper Street, yeah.
And I think I spec'd out the heavy ones.
Yeah, the gray ones. And there is a big difference in them. I did not know that, but there is a substantial difference.
Yeah, get them ordered. Yes.
Yeah, because we got the grant paperwork in, I presume.
Yes, Ellen, the documents were in there and signed. Ellen sent in the certificate of insurance today, so we should be good to go on that. And although V-Trans has to sign off on that, Alan May, I spoke with him a week or so ago, and if indeed those signed documents don't come back, he says we can go ahead with the project as long as we talk to him first, and all the paperwork is up there. So if we get those culverts in, then and all we've got to do is get an okay from him, and then we can move on that. Because it takes a while sometimes, he says, once the paperwork's get there, to get the signature back. But everything's up there.
And then me and Emily met with Pete, last name Fellows.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. From Two Rivers, wanting to know where we wanted to do the next grant project, like Rutherford. And we come to census that Bunker Hill. So if we were to come off of King's Highway and head up, once you get across where the open of the fields are, from there up to the Oxford. And he had a list, and of course that's something that I was going to ask him for, of the roads that when they went around and did their erosion study, on the roads that were bad, memory serves me, there was only like four or five of them on that list. And they were real scattered out, like real air, like wayside. Then he had out on King's Highway, a spot out on there. Bunker Hill was one of them. That was one of the ones that I was thinking we'd do anyway. I can't remember.
There was one on Handy Road, wasn't there?
Yep, that's right.
And but he... He suggested that we do either. He suggested that we do King's Highway or Bunker Hill. And when we went and looked at them both, and then he decided that Bunker Hill was far more important, which is kind of what Jimmy and I told him anyway, just because of the use. And
that project was going to entail on trying to put two more additional culverts in on the hill and starter the ditches. That's
So as far as the board is concerned, is that okay?
Yep.
I don't think we need to vote on that formally, do we? What else?
And then Dickie Schultz, I reached out to him and he won't be able to come in and do much of anything until the middle to the end of September. I said that's fine, you know, because he's got to go over there and do that, finish that, on Roger over there, he's going to want to do that thing on here.
It's only a month away at this point. So.
I know. That's, yeah. And then the other thing that I did have on here was I did speak to the Charles that's going to be doing the Cloudland Bridge down there. And I called him quite a few times. They called me back. And so this is Monday. I think I chatted with him Monday. And he told me that he's planning on trying to be there in 2 weeks. And I says, okay. But he's got until October 1st to get out of the water.
October 1st or
15th? 1st. And I had a little bit of a conversation with Scott Jensen, and Scott said even though he does do good work, it's hard to get him and Scott will not, in this situation, knowing on kind of who this individual is, he will not give an exception because he knows this is the pendant we have. So he has to get out of the water by the first.
Did you speak to him about that when you talked?
I said, you know, you need to, I know what I've got to do. And I was told not to call him Charlie. And of course, I left him a message, called him Charlie. And when he called me back and left me a message, when we called him back, he says, please, I prefer to be called Charles, not Charlie. And I said, but I did it. It was interesting to be able to talk to Scott, and Scott did say that he does a lot of work over there in Rochester and Starkbridge area. But to get him there, to get him to get the work done.
Well, he's all we've got at this point, and he's got a third of the money, so I guess we're in the.
I don't know what else to do to put the squeeze to him.
Well, it took me quite a while to get hold of him, so I sympathize with you not getting him to call you back.
If he's saying 2 weeks, and he's going to be out of the water by the first, only gives him a short passion to get it done.
Well, let's just hope for the best. I don't think we've got any other choice.
And then truck number three, Justin left with it the other day, had the trailer on and headed up the hill here. The high side, the splitter button from high and low on the shifter. It's not an air leak that was on it or whatever, because you could hear it if it was, and it's not. So it wouldn't come up in the high, and so they took it from the town manager, took it down to Sables. It's down to Sables. They get a minute, I guess, and then move it on. So. And the other thing was Keith Sawyer, he had called and obtained. Coming in to interstate mowing roadsides for two or three days a week. That's out there too.
Who was that again?
Keith Sawyer.
Oh, okay. Yep.
The board have any thought on that?
Haven't gotten anything from anybody else.
No.
Vern did call Vern and I talked to Vern and he said he really would love to do it, but he was in the Monk's Village to show us, and maybe next year would work, but right now it's not the time.
Well, I would say if you could get him on for 2 or 3 days a week, that we ought to do it.
He's worked for us before. So.
Yeah. He's pretty meticulous. He's a careful guy.
I would say do it. Do we need a formal motion on that?
Probably since we're going to employ him.
I'll entertain a motion.
Is he going to be driving any vehicles? Do you need to get any driver's records? What do we need to do there?
He's just going to run them all, right?
Yeah, I think he's going to run them all. It's a good question. Hello?
Yeah,
because
if he's going to drive the trucks, too, we have even a temp has to go through all the stuff we go through with you guys. So.
But the tractor, he's fine.
That's not covered under the DOT stuff. It's just the CDL stuff. So.
Yeah, we don't have to do that. It's not driving on the trucks.
Right.
So
Good point.
But that's easy.
So do we have a problem with that or not? I'm not sure I understood.
John's just making the point is we drive him on the roads.
So yeah, make sure that's it.
Just have to check his driver to get a, you know, the standard driver
that doesn't need the DOT stuff. But
so just check that he has a license?
A valid license.
Driver's license. Okay. So in your motion, you could make his hiring part-time contingent on that.
Yes. So make a motion to hire Keith Sawyer contingent on he's got a valid driver's license and he passes the state whatever we require for our driving history. I would fill out the form for the state to get his driver's record.
I need a second for that.
Sure.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Frank? John?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Emily? Unanimous?
So that's the driver license request for? That's
what yes.
Yeah.
With that, though, we are, in addition to that, we have a separate rate of pay for him, right?
I'm at a loss as to where you would want to set that. Did he give you any indication as to what?
He was thinking somewhere around 22.
For a part-time worker with that's had some experience with no benefits.
I think that's reasonable.
Any other comments on that? I need a motion on the rate of pay.
Contingent on him passing the or getting approved driving thing and driving record, let's say. And hire, I move that we pay Kevin Sawyer $22 an hour.
Second.
I'm sorry, did I say Kevin?
Keith. We have a motion in a second. Frank?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Emily, aye. Motion passed. What else you got, Kim? Okay, while you're here, even though this is out of order, I was informed by Bill Page, who lives on the Bridgewater end of Wayside Road. There's been a change in command in Bridgewater, and they did not grade the road, the Pomfret end of the road. And I guess, Bill, to talk to you as well. And so we're going to have to come to grips with that, and I need some kind of board sentiment as to how we want to deal with that. They don't have any crew right now. They're just using contract help.
They've got a road foreman.
They've got a road foreman. So we can...
Who's this you talked with?
I talked with Billy Pate, who is a resident on the road.
Oh, okay. So it's not a board member or anything?
No. He came... He called me and expressed concern that Randy was no longer there, and that the road had been graded by a contract person and they didn't do anything with Pomfrets. And so I'm bringing that to the board because it's something that we had to deal with, basically Bridgewater and Randy. I'm more than willing to go over to the next Bridgewater meeting and see if they want to continue with that, if they now have a road foreman. But right now we've fallen through the cracks, and my feeling was it was a really good deal.
Well, what was the town of Pomfret doing for the town of Bridgewater?
Giving them two loads of sand.
And they were sanding it, plowed it, degrading it.
Yes.
Yeah. However, if anything major needed to be done, you know, like culverts or something, we were going to have to go over there. But that was getting them the road plowed and sanded and graded.
So that was in a storm event. I mean, but say you had a storm event, and we're relying on them to go over there and grade that road. We had a storm event, and somebody went over there both times. It was because the culverts were plugged up, or the ditches would fall.
Yeah, I mean, there's no formal agreement of any kind that I'm aware of. But, I mean, I think they were doing routine maintenance, although I don't know what.
Well, no, we did go before. Michael and I did go to the board meeting, and we did discuss it with him. And at that point, Randy was on board, and he was happy with that as a reimbursement for his time. And we had B&G just to deliver him the sand, and we paid the bill. I don't know whether Bridgerato would entertain that, but from a plowing and sanding point of view, even if we have to go up there and do maintenance and grade it, we still, from a plowing and sanding in the winter maintenance, that's still a no-brainer. And I'm more than willing to find out when the next board meeting and go over. And somebody else can come along, or I'll go alone. I don't, you know, whatever. If they're willing to, if they've got their feet on the ground and they're willing to do that, that's still the best bet for us.
Absolutely.
So do we want to reach out to them, and I'll reach out to somebody?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I do know that that was a conversation that we did have with Bill. He said that it needs some attention. And I hadn't had any attention for quite a while. I said, no problem.
Maybe we should drive up there and take a look.
I got an idea what's happened. It's all over. We're trying to take care of this. We don't need them yet.
Well, we did indicate when we went to see them that if, you know, if there were major problems here, that we would address that. And, you know, for, especially for winter maintenance, it saves you a lot of time, doesn't it?
Huge.
So I'll get in touch with Bridgerato Board. Okay, we've handled that. Fuel price contract acceptance. There's nothing in the bid package for that. I did forward to you a price that I got from Irving, a proposal. Did you all get that?
Yes.
And I also, Dead River did not send me a contract. These prices fluctuate daily, and so I had to get all this in the works today. And I kind of had Irving organized on Monday to send a contract on Wednesday. And Dead River was harder to reach on heating oil. Dead River is $2.22 a gallon, and Irving is $2.27 a gallon. On propane, Irving is Dead River is $1.28 a gallon, and Irving is $1.08. If you use 4,200 gallons for heating oil and 3,000 gallons for propane, Dead River is going to cost us, and that's about what our usage was last year because we didn't use quite all that we contracted for. Dead River is going to cost us $13,164, and Irving at the same prices and the same usage will cost us $12,774. Irving will also, and Dead River will not, sell us the diesel fuel for the town garage at rack price plus 10 cents. And that will fluctuate. But they've had the contract before. So my feeling would be that we should go with Irving, mainly because they're going to be cheaper on the heating oil and the propane, and Dead River is going to bring us fuel oil anyway for the truck. And Irving's done well for us. But I will entertain any discussion or motion.
I believe we use Irving for our fuel source for this fiscal year, for this year.
need a second. Julie? Thank you. All those in favor, Frank?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
And myself is an aye on that. I will. I have to sign that contract by midnight for Irving, or they will redo it tomorrow, and I will get that done before I quit for the night. And I will inform Dead River that Irving has the contract. We now have bids opening. I don't know what you want to do here. The truck bids. Steve says that he's going to have to amend those. We do have two truck bids here from one person.
So does that include the addendum that we talked about 2 weeks ago?
I dropped the ball and didn't get the addendum done.
Okay.
So I think we should just hold those bids. I'll do the addendum and send it out to some truck companies that were or didn't even send a bid because they knew the addendum was coming.
Okay.
Right.
So we'll just let the truck bids go.
In that, I can move the bid date out for a couple of weeks to the next meeting. If everybody's in agreement for that, and that way everybody will be bidding on the exact same.
Okay, we have two bids from D&D Excavating, mainly because the first one was overlooked when we should have opened him the other. So we have one bid from D&D. We'll open the second one.
This is for
sand. Sand is next on the list, and then we have aggregate bids. Let me just check and make sure this is an aggregate bid, not the same bid. This is aggregate, okay. So we have the one sand bid from D&D.
Their price is $13.50 a yard, or $9.45 a ton, and for 2,100 yard, which is the equivalent to 3,000 tons.
How much a ton?
Ton with $9.45.
That's how many? 2,100
yards.
Yards.
Which is the equivalent to 3,000 tons.
At a delivered price.
To be hauled to the pump for the government.
That is the only sand for conventional sand bid that we have. And the manufactured sand price will be in this aggregate price list, I'm assuming. So I need a motion.
I move to contract with D&D Excavating for this year's sand, the amount of 2,100 yards.
Okay. I need a second. You ready to vote? Frank?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Myself is an aye. I will notify D&D tomorrow. Check out a telephone number.
There is a number tomorrow.
I'll make a copy of this before the end of the night, and then I'll take it. I don't think I can take the bids tonight. The bids have to stay. Okay, now we have the aggregate bid here too. I opened one to make sure it was an aggregate bid.
Go ahead.
excuse me. We got for aggregate pricing.
For I could get the copy.
Oh, great. Who was the other bid from?
Penn State.
Can I have one of those copies? Do you have, right offhand, do you know what we paid for this current year?
I can look and see.
We still have time on that contract that we have. That goes until sometime in October. I can't recall exactly the date. And
in October or something.
Oh, the
Jim's got the old one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just go get a copy of it.
Sure.
I can turn that thing on.
Okay, I'll do it.
If I can, you can, Jim.
Oh. Start hitting buttons until something comes
out. Some clicks, yeah. There you go.
It doesn't always work out well. I found with an excavator, I never did get the damn thing to run. I got it started, but I couldn't make it move. So finally I said, I'll do something else. Do you want us to read off these prices to you, or I don't know, the prices on Twin State Sand and Gravel on all categories, and they have no price on manufactured sand, are all higher than those from Pike? I'm sorry you're not here, but it's kind of... I'm sorry.
So what's the problem with reading off the amount? Is it just hard to suss it out?
There's about 12 categories in each bid.
Okay, gotcha. Well, that's sort of the problem with that, can't it?
Yeah.
No, don't worry about it. I'll just wait till the motion is on the table.
Based on the price comparisons between Twin State and Pike, I move that we contract with Pike for our aggregate materials this coming year.
Second.
Are we ready to vote? Brian?
Just as a side for Scott, the only thing that went up appreciably is the washed manufactured sand went up $1 a ton from last year. The rest of the stuff is, you know, certainly within line, within, you know, 50 cents or 40 cents even.
Okay.
So, did that get seconded?
Yes, Steve seconded. John seconded. Frank?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Emily, aye. Okay, we've got to put...
But we're still on... prices go a lot over?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, we can look up the contract, Jim, and see. We did it later in the year. We did
do it later in the year, and I think that when I wrote that RFP, which I don't have in front of me right now, I wrote that to say effective 1st of October, whatever that date was.
October 15th.
Thank you, John.
Well, that's when it should be good.
So the prices that we have should be good until then. I will email both of them and tell them our decision. So we got both of those bids in here.
Yeah, you mentioned the Twin State. We appreciate that bidding. Last year we did it blind.
I will do that. Okay. So we'll include those back.
For an information point, I was talking to the salesman at Pike for a project that I got, and there would be a difference in the pricing. He had said how significant, but if you started to do two-year deals or longer, there would be slightly better pricing than what they currently were.
You can put that in the for another time.
It might make it a lot easier going forward to get longer commitments and evidence. Less work on our firm.
Just as an aside, Jimmy and I saw Jared, the pipe guy, that put in this bid today, and I asked him, I had emailed Caleb and not gotten a response back, but I wasn't surprised because I only emailed him today. He felt that if we got our RFP out for Howe Hill by January, February, that these big guys that would be doing that kind of a reclaiming job would be able to put it in their schedule. In other words, we would get a much more competitive bid if we can get that out early. And so I thought I'd maybe email John Harrington to that effect. And Sharon, the board and Sharon, I told them I would talk to Caleb or get a hold of him, and I will email them along the same line so that maybe we can get that all together early so that we can do better. Artistry driveway permit. This is left over from last time, and Scott, you got back a comment from Joel McLean on whether this was going to be an issue with the Zoning Board of Adjustment. Mm-hmm. Would you like to speak to that?
Yeah, basically, Joe said there's no issue there, no conflict there between the board issuing a permit, driveway permit, when you know, original contours came out of a zoning permit. But there's no inherent conflict between the two. That side of it, you know.
Okay, so
there's always was an access there on a separate piece of property. So I think we ought to issue the permit and let the zoning board deal with the rest of it.
Well, do you want to make it seasonal?
Yeah. Well, I would think that I was down at Artistry when they were letting off kids, and I think that they do have a justifiable concern. There were kids running everywhere. However, I think I personally think that we should make it seasonal just for their camp situation. And what I would like to see, unless they revamp their whole parking thing, which they have a Zoning Board of Adjustment hearing coming up, I would like to see that just be maintained as it is now, quote, farm road, with no other with no improvements. If they're just going to use it during the summer, that's a dry area. They can do that with no problem. And if they revamp their whole parking situation, then their whole plan may change anyway.
I don't think we can do anything about the first 20 feet. But
you don't think what?
The only thing we can do anything about is the first 20 feet. As a select.
That's true. That's, well, yeah, maybe.
Anything else after that would be advisory.
That's probably true. But anyway, I need a motion.
The only, yeah, it's been an access to that field area, so as long as it doesn't somehow restrict them from using that as an access when they need to access the field for a legitimate reason, I don't want this to trump anything that they've been legitimately using, even though there's no permit in place.
Well, in the past, it was a farm road, and I think that's been there well before. That's well before. That was there well before there was any driveway ordinance. So
I'd make a motion that we give them a seasonal driveway permit for their summer camps. I don't know if you want to just say June, July, and August, and leave it at that.
It's fine with me.
Sure.
I'll second that.
All those in favor of that motion? Do you have anything to add, Scott? Or
no, I don't.
Ready to vote? Frank?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
And I'm in favor as well. Okay, we've got through that. We have now a Boley driveway permit, and that was in your packet. And the drawings are also here. Heidi's here, and Greg is here. And so we have not done a site visit, but maybe you'd like to... have you marked it up there?
I have. I marked it just on a couple trees because I'm not real particular as to where it goes.
Okay.
It's not a big area, so I just marked two trees with ribbon.
Okay.
Where I thought it would be fitting. But.
Have you happened to see those, Jim?
Yeah.
Well, I've got the map here.
Kind of coming in right on the corner.
That's where I marked for visibility.
Here's this map.
It didn't have to be right there.
Here's the paperwork that Becky had, if any of you want to see that, that she put in my box. I'm sorry.
You usually have a site visit?
Yes.
Did you say? So you've got to have a site visit?
We've got to have a site visit, but you're here, and if there's any questions, maybe we ought to ask them now. Would one of you be available to go up there with us?
Yes.
At some point?
Certainly.
Are you around most of the time, Greg?
I am.
And Jim, you probably ought to go up there, too. So maybe... you schedule something with Greg at some point, and I can hit most anything, especially early in the morning. Wouldn't bother you, would it? And maybe Steve could hit it, or Frank.
Yeah, I mean, I'll do it
anytime,
whenever.
So, you want to schedule it now?
I don't do it. You want to do it? Can we do it tomorrow?
I'll go up there tomorrow first thing.
Tomorrow first thing, tomorrow morning work?
Seven?
Seven.
Good to go.
7 o'clock.
Yep. Appreciate it very much.
I like people to get up early. This is good. Do you want to hit that, Steve?
I go with it.
Okay.
You want to call me up? Sure.
That was hard.
You going to wake me up?
No, I don't want to do that.
You slept through one snowstorm this winter. That was the demon's breath.
We'll do a site visit, and then we once we do that, you'll be on the next meeting's agenda, and we'll get to finalize. But you'll have some ideas to how things are going to go after the site visit. Is that okay? Okay. We have a catering permit for Silo Distillery. This is for thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
This is for 9/16/19 at Artistry, and from 5 to 8 p.m. And I need a motion. Good, Franklin. So Frank's now gone.
Who's the dater?
The date is Silo Distillery is the caterer.
I'm wondering, it's not so much for this permit, but I'm wondering if we want to go back to Kathleen and let them know that, like we did with Belly Up, if they have a caterer who's coming back more regularly, we can do the blanket permit for them as well.
I think this is the only one we've gotten from Silo, isn't it, this year?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
Well, they got it in on time, and we can have Becky suggest that perhaps for another year, because we're almost at the end of Artistry's events at this point. But that's a good idea. So I need a motion on this.
Make a motion to approve the permit for Silo Distillery.
And Steve, you second? Vote, John?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
And myself, aye. So we're good to go on that. I'll mark it approved and put it on Becky's desk. Okay. Information technology. I don't know who put this on.
I thought Becky was going to follow up right now about the garage computer.
I haven't heard. Is Ellen still here?
No.
No, she left.
Let's table that. I did speak to her about that, and she hasn't gotten back to me. Dirt Days at Suicide 6. Karen, you were part of this deal. I got 4 complaints. And they were from various, 2 of them were from up on Wild Apple Road. One was on Old Kings Highway. And one was a question more than a complaint from the village in South Pomfret. And the people that were complaining about the traffic felt that it wasn't safe to have all those bikes going up through and coming back through in packs of 15 and 20 on these dirt roads. And I guess from my point of view, it's a public road, and I think they were legal. And from the ones that also went by my house, and a lot of them did, they were very respectful. They weren't loud. They weren't going really fast. But when we have races come through town, those individuals that have races go through, they give us a certificate of insurance, and they come and say, this is what we're figuring to do. And I guess I would have preferred that than having all these people call me and say, what the heck's going on? And me, because I got the calls, and maybe you all got calls too, I don't know, but...
No, I mean, I saw them out there. I mean, I think it, from an insurance aspect, because they're all registered, they legally all have to carry all of their own insurance that meets the state standards. So as far as, I'm sure the Suicide 6 has to have some insurance that covers whatever happens at their facility, but as far as being out on the road, there's... The ones that I saw, which were numerous ones, were all respectful, but there's nothing you're going to do as far as regulating whether there's one bike or 10,000 bikes that decide to come through Pomfret and all ride on the same road today. If they're legally registered, then they can legally do that.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more.
I'm Pam Pickett from South Pomfret. Person who talked with Emily about what, you know, how this all came about. And I think what I would like to say is if I'm very supportive of the ski area and your growth, and I certainly want you around. I think this particular event, from what I observed, was way too big for the venue to have people out there camping. You know, I was concerned about environmental things, the noise. I think the people were very respectful. But I do think the constant barrage of motorcycles was an annoyance, you know, at 6:30 and 7 in the morning. And I do think the event was probably too big for that area. And again, I was concerned about, you know, how do things like this get approved? What sort of safety things are in place? You know, there's the Covered Bridges Marathon. There's always sheriffs there directing traffic. Things like that, what sort of emergency things were put in place, and I compared it in my mind to the when Suicide 6 was approved as a wedding venue. it was very specific, 140 people during these hours, this safety, and then to see something like this take place with what I observed was like no sort of safety things in place. And I don't believe that camping should have taken place there. Karen, you mentioned it was legal to do for a landowner, but I would interpret that as a private landowner and not someone being charged to camp there. I mean, what would prevent someone from charging all summer to camp on their property? Do you know what I mean?
Well, there is a 2-month limit, so you can't do it all summer, but yeah.
I do think that there's a big difference from what I would interpret as the intent of the zoning or whatever. And I mean, it seemed as though the people were very respectful. It was not really noisy at night at all. It was more the bikes first thing in the morning and going out and things like that. And I know that there were complaints about a mountain bike race a couple of years ago, and this just added a degree of noise to the village and traffic.
To me, as long as they are obeying any current law, myself in favor of almost anything that we bring to Pomfret that again fits within what we have, but as long as it obeys current laws and ordinances that we have, to me, the more people that we can bring into town, the better off we are going to be in the future. So,
I don't disagree completely, but I think there has to be some sort of criteria or something to have as a standard, because I don't believe that, I don't believe 200 campsites at Suicide 6 for 4.5 days is appropriate. But that's not just for me to decide. I think the community needs to have some sort of criteria for that, because the next group may not be as respectful as this group was. And that's my concern, that we're going to have a slippery slope of events. I mean,
that's certainly a possibility, but to me, I'm the type of person that crosses that bridge when you get to it, because to get so worked up about what could happen that in the future, there's just so many possibilities that
But that doesn't negate the need to have some sort of guidelines or something. I don't believe in that.
John, you had your hand up.
I'd just like to speak. I talked to some of the people in Maple Fields when they were leaving. I said, what did they think of the venue? They said they thought it was a great venue. They hoped that they're welcome back another year. I did talk to somebody that wasn't at this site, that wasn't as part of this group, that said that Woodstock or the Suicide Six or the Rock Resort was very fortunate to be able to get them to come here. There were people from Canada and people from New York State. And I guess if Vermont is going to hang out the shingle that it's going to be a tourist economy and attract people, there was a lot of business that Max got. I talked to Miller Hewitt, a lot of people shopped there. Tico got a lot of business. I'm not sure what happened at the Woodstock Inn, but everybody was very courteous that I saw, used directional signals, rode at safe speeds, that for a 3-day event, it would seem that maybe people could live with that.
Go ahead. Do you want to say anything, Tim?
I'm here just to answer any specific questions and just to tell you all a little bit more about the event, should you desire to have any more information. But I certainly don't want to speak out of turn.
We'd love to hear what you have to say. You made the effort to come.
Well, I wanted to also make sure that we were represented in case there were questions. So thank you for everybody's input. And just as a personal side note, I'm going to be a Pomfret resident in about 2 weeks, so all things go to plan. So, I very much have a vested interest in how the traffic flows on these roads. And one of the reasons that my family and I chose to buy a home here is because we want to be out and away from a little bit on a back road that wouldn't have tons of traffic. That being said, these were all very road legal vehicles and going, at least in my understanding, quite respectfully and following traffic laws. I was frankly surprised by how quiet all of the bikes were. This was not like having a Harley rally, and I've been to those, so this was very much different. You could stand, you know, at Tego and listen to bikes go by, and, you know, it was just very different than it could have been. The other thing that I'll say is when the event was originally sold to us as Suicide 6, and you have to understand, the Inn has their own sales team that goes out and it secures events and it sells essentially us as a venue. So we were brought into it kind of at the beginning in the genesis of this. Where we had initially met with the organizers and they had talked about a little bit smaller numbers than what we actually saw. In fact, we probably priced ourselves a little too low in what we rented the venue for. But the plan was, as I submitted in writing to you folks, was that, you know, really the idea of the event is to show off and showcase the incredible richness and diversity of Vermont's road systems, especially the dirt roads. So they were really using Suicide 6 as a home base. There were classroom sessions and training things taking place on a small obstacle course in a corner of the parking lot that we built, as well as in the lodge itself and a couple of tents they put in the backyard. And that was really the primary function of that, for us to be able to give them breakfast, send them out on guided rides. They had loops everywhere from 100 to about 300 miles in length. And they left in waves in the morning in small groups of riders no less than 20. And departed in all directions. So our understanding, even when I inquired to Karen about what permitting or zoning may affect, like the camping and so forth, really the roads wasn't a major concern of ours, because our understanding was everybody was departing the area in the morning and they would return around 5 p.m. They would, you know, have dinner, sit around the campfire. They had some guest speakers who came on a nightly basis. And they had a little amphitheater set up in the backyard. And then most people by 8:30 were whipped, and they just went to bed and walked back to their campsites. Now, after we sold the event, the organizers, who actually, Bill and Christian Dutcher were their names, and they actually were the ones who started Americade over in Lake George, which started out very small and grew quite large. And this was an offshoot of that, and again, it was kind of supposed to be small. They put a cap on the number of campers and so forth. At some point after the contract was signed, and it was signed months ago, they picked up a title sponsor, which was Toratech. You probably saw that on some of the signs and so forth. Toratech is a pretty large aftermarket company that sells pretty expensive accessories for a lot of these bikes. And apparently with every Toratech purchase over the last 6 or 8 months, they sent out a postcard saying, go to Suicide 6 on August 15th for this event. And I think that's where the numbers and the day visitors shot up, as well as they picked up some additional sponsors for the event, which ended up being demonstrations. So you have American Honda show up, Triumph, Beta, and KTM, who all showed up, motorcycle manufacturers, and did the demo rides out of the parking lot. And what I think that most of the complaints that you fielded were those endless short demonstrator loops where you know, people would sign up and have license and proof of insurance and demonstrate and test out a new model bike, and they had some loops where every hour they were probably, my assumption is, going up Wild Apple and coming down, you know, maybe Webster Hill, I don't know, I'm not really certain. And I think that's really that repetitive nature of those rides is what really rubbed people the wrong way. And I do sincerely apologize that I wasn't aware that that was going on. And the first notification came in to Karen. We went down and spoke with them and asked them if they could either devise different loops or alternate and have the manufacturers all use different routes. So that should have improved over the course of the weekend. I don't know that it did, but that was something that we certainly tried to mitigate as soon as we found out. And again, I just, you know, one thing I'll say about the group being respectful is we had 200 plus or minus campers in that field, and there were 8 of us that showed up for work on Sunday with a mindset that we were just kind of up and clean up, and there was literally not one piece of trash in that entire field. We have a Vermont Symphony Orchestra concert, and it looks like a bomb went off. So I will tell you, this group was incredibly respectful and very appreciative of your hospitality.
I think that, I guess what I would like to see is, I don't have a problem with the bikes. Everyone that went by my place was very respectful. They're quieter than a Harley going down through, because a group went by on Sunday here, and the Harley was just making an heck of a lot of noise, and the 20 guys in front of it that were your dirt bikes, they were just quiet as a mouse, and they were very respectful. But I guess the one thing that I would say is, if you'd given us a little notice, it would have been nice. And then at least when I started getting these phone calls and emails, I would have said, well, hell no, I don't know what the hell this is. And I could have said, oh yeah, they've come before us, you know, they've told us what the routes are. And maybe some signs like what they do for the covered bridges half marathon. There's going to be a race here in 2 weeks. Or there are going to be motorbikes that are going to use these roads. Or, you know, just so that the townspeople know their, and maybe it's better if they don't know, but it probably is better if they do.
So my conversation at the zoning board hearing and then with Karen obviously wasn't the notification that you prefer. So what is the right method, and how can I do that?
Normally with the races, quite a ways ahead of time, 3 or 4 months. They come in and they say, we're going to have the covered bridges half marathon. They show us proof of insurance. They name Pomfret as well. And in this particular instance, you're dealing with individuals that already have insurance. When you're talking a road race...
The organizer had their own insurance as well. And so we'll reach out to you, but we probably would encourage them to put together routes, which we can...
Well, that's what these races have, is these organizations have insurance. They name Pomfret as a co-insured, so that we are no longer liable if something happens. And then that also gets it before the public. You've come and asked for a permit. It's here on a public agenda. And, you know, we've never we have never denied a race. We have sometimes with that Adaptive 100, we've asked that they get sheriffs up on the state road because they have a big stop there and it's just a zoo without. And so we've asked those kinds of requirements. I'm not sure that we would do that in your case, but at least the select board would know in advance that something was going to happen, and so would the townspeople. And then at least they wouldn't be caught unawares. When I got an email from someone, first I got a call and then an email. There's 100 or 100 in an hour have gone up and down Wild Apple. And, you know, that certainly isn't normal on a Thursday afternoon. And so some advance notice would be nice. I personally saw a lot of it, and I didn't have a problem with it. Yes, ma'am?
Just a few posts on the listserv is very best way to let people know.
You know, and like the road closure that they did over Hot Hill is going to go tomorrow. We put that on the listserv twice. I don't know how unhappy people were, but, you know, there's been no traffic and nobody's been turning around at the end and been really annoyed. But we gave them some advance notice so that they knew it was going to happen. And I think that would go a long way to helping you out. But they were very respectful. The bikes were quiet. And, you might want to look at the roads more carefully and say, you know, these really narrow back roads, you know, maybe they don't want to drive in a pack. Maybe they will kind of want to go single file. There's a couple places where they went that, you know, if they got to the top of the hill and there was a car coming the other way, it's kind of a blind hill. And that was one of the individuals that called me. And, you know, that road isn't safe for anybody to drive, because it's just as likely if a car, they both hit at the top of the hill, it's not going to be pretty. But I guess that would be my thought. I don't know. Scott, do you have anything to add?
I don't.
John? Steve?
No, they were very respectful.
I just want to reiterate that, I mean, they were very respectful, and I think one of the things to echo what Emily said is it caught us completely off guard. Like, what's going on? You know, is this going to be a every weekend type thing? And, you know, how many events would there be and everything? So I do think that, you know, I appreciate your willingness to kind of communicate the next time and see. And, you know, I do think it was a little noisy, but I think that that's the nature of the beast. And I do have concerns about the camping and things like that, but I just think there should be some sort of guidelines.
Christina, you have
I would just like to say it was nice to see the venue in use. It's kind of, I mean, I know that the bikes are down there now in the summer, mountain biking and stuff, but it's nice to see that the venue, it's a beautiful space, and it's nice to see for different events coming in there, whether it be, you know, in the winter, the snowcross thing, which I thought was a good idea. It's noisy for one day, but everybody has their own hobbies and likes, and not all of them are quiet and clean or however. I mean, they're all different types of people, all different hobbies, and it's just nice to try to kind of reach out and incorporate everything to everybody. And, you know, it brings more people to the town, more revenue, good business, and who knows? I mean, those people might want to come back and buy houses. You know, I mean, I don't know, I think it's all around good, and if they were respectful and cleaned up after themselves, I mean, it's not like the cops were being called and out there all the time, so, I mean, you try to keep the noise down as best you can, but if they're being respectful, I think we should welcome more events, the better.
Well, I do think the people had known it was 3 days and then it was going to go away.
I do think advanced.
You know, and then it was going to go away for the next 362. You know, they'd be a little, you know, if they thought it was going to happen every weekend, I think that. I think a little advance notice is probably where I would think that we could do a little better.
And I apologize again, I would do better than that. I thought that my questioning at the zoning board hearing a couple months prior was what would serve as that notice, so I'll use different meetings next time.
Sometimes select board members get to go to enough meetings so they don't always hit the others. And now that's just my personal opinion. Sometimes I hit them and sometimes I don't.
I've been to zoning board meetings once.
Any other questions? Anybody? Move on from this topic. Ongoing list of meeting agenda topics. You put that on, Scott?
I did. This is something that I feel like we've talked about many times and we haven't been able to really stick with it. So I just want to bring this up again. We agreed many meetings ago that we would use our running log that we have in SharePoint to track agenda items and use that as our way to build the next agenda. And we never really have gotten into that habit, and I'd like to resurrect that again, that we did agree to it, and try to start doing that, because there were a lot of things on that list that I think have gotten forgotten about over the past several months. And, you know, certainly we get busy, and other things take priority, but I don't want to lose sight of the things that we have tracked before, and I think it would just be good as a way to make sure that we're not forgetting important topics.
Any questions? Anybody? You put on outstanding appointments as well?
Yeah, so I think I went back and looked at minutes from previous meetings, and I could not find anything about some of the appointments that I brought up the last time. And so I'm wondering if we need to make some more appointments at the next meeting. Unless somebody knows of minutes somewhere from the board where we did make some appointments.
Well, I think you were going to look back and see what you could find.
Yeah, I couldn't find.
You didn't find anything. You
make a list of the ones that need to be done.
Yeah.
And circulate it give it to Cindy for the next agenda. And If you do that on a Friday or Saturday, I can contact people, or you can email them to me, and I will contact the people that we thought were reappointed but were not, and make sure they're willing to serve. Or if there are unfilled positions, we can do that as well.
Yep. Okay, I'll do that. And this is probably a good time to remind everybody that even if there's somebody who's not been reappointed to their position, that doesn't mean that they're not able to serve in that position. They can, you know, they can continue to serve in that position. It's not a problem. So if anybody ever wonders, that's the reality. That's how there's a specific legal doctrine that covers that allows people to continue serving in their roles even if they've not been reappointed. So we're not in any, you know, we're not in any trouble for not getting people.
Okay. Before we do use and maintenance of SharePoint, Neil has been waiting here, and he had a little bit of information regarding FEMA and some mitigation projects that he and the FEMA person discussed. Can we let him speak before we get into use and maintenance of SharePoint? Would that be agreeable to the board that is left? You're on, Neil.
Thank you. We have, as Jimmy has pointed out, I think in the past, there's 9 projects under DR4445, which is the FEMA project that we're working on now. 2 of those projects have been completed, and the other 7 are being worked on by the road commissioner, the road foreman, and the road crew. The culvert on Granite Ledge and the large culvert down at the base of the hill on Sugar Bush Farm Road, the stream engineer from DNR or ANR thought those were undersized. Both of them were damaged during Irene, so we are pursuing getting mitigation funds, which is different from this fund that we're working on now with the FEMA stuff. So there may be a chance for us to fix those things so they don't bother us again.
They were both damaged this spring as well.
They were both damaged this spring, and they both damaged during Irene, which the mitigation people on the FEMA team said that's a sign that maybe you need to fix something, spend a little extra money and fix it so FEMA doesn't have to come to town again to fix those 2 things. So that's where we are. It'll be a long process, but it's separate from the 9 projects that we're working on now.
And just to add, Neil needs a hydraulic study on both of those areas, and he asked me about that, and you contacted V-Trans to get those done. So that's in the works as well. But that's at no cost to us. Any questions anybody has for Neil?
Other than thank you.
Ed, do you have any questions, Scott?
Nope.
Okay. And so the last item on the agenda is use and maintenance of SharePoint.
Yeah, so I put this on because we keep coming back around to it. I guess I'm wondering whether we want to keep using it or not. We're not using it right now.
No.
Do we want to?
I think we should, but I'm just as guilty as everybody for not using it. I mean, I think it makes it, it's fine to share a document and email, so to say here's the document and there it is, but the document you're sharing should be, unless there's some other, we need to have some form of centralized place to keep the stuff, so when we one of us wants it, we know where to go find it.
I've used the SharePoint quite a bit, and to find these documents for various highway projects and things, and the frustration that I have with SharePoint, and I think it's a great repository for all of these documents, but the frustration that I have is that there's, it needs to have a better indexing capability, because depending on what you ask for, you can get put into so many different places that it is difficult to find what you want to look for, and I find that a little bit frustrating. And but I think that if we could if we all had an idea of to where how things were categorized and where they were stored, it would become much more useful. And I don't know how one does that. Perhaps you know, Scott, or perhaps we can get someone else to help us. But that's the frustration that I have. But I think it's very useful to store these documents and be able to look up these various grants and things and find them there as long as they've gotten put there. And that's my view.
Yeah, I can certainly help with that. A lot of it has to do with file naming, but it also searches the content of documents. And it also helps to structure the search in a way that's going to help you return what you're looking for. So I can certainly help people with that.
So I don't think we should, I personally don't think we should scrap it. And I know that... I spoke to someone about internet and using the computer, and what they said was that, you know, you've got to have a secure, you want to be worried about your security of your system, and because SharePoint is there with Outlook and Office 365, it's a secure system. It's not something that just anyone can get into. I think that's a plus. And that's how, and I'm speaking as someone who's computer illiterate anyway. Neil?
One thing that I find useful, oh, by the way, I did get into SharePoint, and I was able to find the last FEMA project stuff quite easily. So it does work, even for somebody that is not familiar with your filing system or how it was set up. One of the things that might be useful is to use a file naming system that starts with the date, year, dot, month, dot, day, dot, whatever the subject is. That way you've automatically listed everything by date, which is when you get into a folder, it's sometimes you're looking for a year-old document, you can look under 18 and save yourself a little bit, but that's one of the tricks that some people use.
Yeah, that's certainly a good suggestion, Neil. File naming definitely helps organize things within folders. Well, I guess what I would say, though, is that we should get back into the habit of getting all the documents that we're doing, even here at board meetings, and get them uploaded to SharePoint. I think that would be a good start.
Yeah, then you just have to make it available to ourselves to put the stuff on there that we create. If you put it on there as you create it, and anytime you want to access it, pull it off of there, save it back on there. That's just like saving it, pulling it and saving it from your own hard drive. It's just
exactly.
You know, maybe we should have a half an hour at one of our meetings or something where we can put it on the projector and you can go through it, Scott, and we can all look at it together and at least have a basic. And I think we've all used it. Some of us are better than others, but if we all see the same basic way to use it together, then maybe at least what we're talking about, it will be closer to on the same page with some of it.
Yeah, sounds like a good idea.
Okay. Any other, no questions on this one? We have now come to the end of business items for discussion, unless I have missed something. That being said, meeting wrap-up, select board correspondence. Other than these various bids and the permits, I have none. Is anyone else? Review of assignments. I'm going to notify bidders, and Bridgewater, and I'll touch base with Sharon on Howell, and site visit tomorrow. So, any other assignments?
Slack software to John. Truck RFPD.
I will also get some information from Becky regarding the garage computer.
And to your point, for Scott.
Thank you. Any particular agenda items for next meeting? Are you going to get that truck? So we should figure we'll get truck bids to open?
Yep.
One thing, did we ever do anything on the things we talked about for the town hall, like the lighting and some of the other things?
No.
We had a conversation about
adopt what that we're going to do, and we haven't done anything, so we need to.
We need to, the lighting, I never got a second quote on that, but more importantly, before you get into lighting, we have until October 15th to address, I believe it's October 15th, the recommendations / deficiencies that Wade Mazur set out in that report. And I believe, Scott, you and John were going to take care of the town hall and maybe here, if there were any here. And Jimmy has been working on the town garage deficiencies. I just applied for grant money for a passive grant for the additions to the security system at the garage that we spoke of a week at the last meeting. And one of the things they're going to look to is that we have made progress, even if we haven't gotten all of those items done, that we are making progress or coming up with a plan. And I realize that that's only a $900-some-odd item, but $900 is $900. And so we really need to get on it and make a plan to correct those deficiencies. Some of those are quite simple, like getting the furnaces inspected and checking off the boxes for each month on the fire extinguishers. Some, like in the cellar of the town hall and the back kitchen stairs, the kitchen stairs and stuff, are going to be a little more significant. Not terribly costly, but nonetheless have got to be addressed. And so we need to get on that.
One more thing is, I can't remember, did the roof on the Old Town Clerk's building ever get done?
The slate is over there and the staging is up, and it's my understanding that he will be here shortly.
Okay, good.
Just a minute, John had something to add.
No, he's working on two jobs, and the slate is here, he's working on another job, and he's going to try to work them both together, so it's being done, and it will be being done, so.
One other thing I would suggest for an upcoming agenda is doing a budget check of where we're at, because I know it's early in the fiscal year, but I think it feels like, I'm not sure if this is right or not, but it feels like we've had a lot of stuff hit right on the front end of the fiscal year. And I might be wrong about that, but I'm curious to see where we're at, even already with our burn rate. Has Ellen, do we know, has Ellen run any numbers recently?
She usually does that at the beginning of the month. And so I don't think she'll run anything until the 1st of September.
She's going to look at some line items and see where we're at. One other thing I would throw in there is that it's kind of hard to know for sure because we haven't gotten anything back yet from the other attorney from Purple Crown, but we probably should either warn a separate meeting or an executive session to the next meeting to do final approval on the settlement agreement.
Well, why don't you let Cindy know if you get a proposal back, and then she can add an executive session. If you don't get it back, there's no sense in having one.
Yeah, I think okay. I think we should anticipate it. Yeah, I'll do that.
Can I make a suggestion for your agenda item? Emily made a comment earlier tonight about the crest of the hill somewhere in the town where cars meet, and it's somewhat dangerous. There's a crest of the hill right out here between here and the town hall. And there was an article in the Valley News recently, something in New Hampshire, that it basically said that you can post a speed limit, whatever you post, but for the most part, people seem to drive the road conditions irregardless of what the speed limit says. And I know a speed limit is somewhat difficult for you to put up here without going through a lot of rigmarole, but I would think, seeing that the harvest supper is coming up here October sometime, that you might consider putting up a pedestrian sign similar to what you have down at the South Bumford,
South
Bumford store. And maybe go around the room, and each one of you pick whatever you think you want to do, and vote on it and let the best option go and get it done.
That kind of goes back to the engineering study that we had done, which we did adopt that we were going to put pedestrian signs up, and that we were going to put up blinky flashy stuff out here. So
I can put it on the next agenda, and we can get Jimmy to order them if we agree. I don't think we can, unless the board wishes, we can add an agenda item at this point, but I think we better wait until the next meeting and put that on.
That should be on there.
Bill, I have an agenda item. Cy Benoit wanted to come and speak to us about roadside trees and stuff.
So you're going to amend the 87 minutes.
Anything else?
I probably should have introduced this in public comments, but just so that the town is aware, Suicide 6 has applied for a historical marker, a roadside marker, and we've been approved for the Fitz Trophy Race, which is, as you probably know, the ski race that's the longest running in the country. And they approved it, and the interesting thing is it's the first roadside marker and only roadside marker in the state of Vermont that won't be on the roadside. It'll actually be at the start house at the top. So we have not yet picked up the marker from the state, but we were notified 2 days ago that it's ready, and we're going to go pick it up. We'll probably have some sort of a small press event, and we'll run the lift for townspeople who want to go up and see it at no charge. So I just want to at least put that on the radar, and I'll let you know when the date for that is.
That's really nice. Bunny Bertram would like that.
And I want to do a comment that I've actually been speaking with the state of Vermont for the historical public marker, so I've been in constant contact with them as well about that.
That's good.
Do you have this meeting, by the way, for your reference?
Yes.
Okay. And to go along with Frank and Cy, that we should put on there whether we're going to do anything with all this debris that down in the April storm. Or maybe it was before April, about getting it chipped up and stuff. I don't think our crew is going to have time, so.
The last go down was that story.
Yeah.
Just get done before snow comes. So
yeah. That's probably a separate item. We'll need to contract with somebody. So Cy wants to basically map out the trees and get permission. I think we just could need the permission
of it.
Yeah, to use the tree cutting funds.
I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Frank?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
And I agree as well.